Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Focus, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
And on Tuesdays, we like to power your property, taking a look at the property headlines over the past week. And today, speaking with Karmjit Singh, senior consultant at real estate firm JLL and CEO of ShowSuite. Now, good class bungalow, a GCB in Bukit Panjang, will be put up for sale via auction by its owner next month with an asking price of $9 million. This according to real estate firm Colliers International.
Well, the asking price for the freehold property at 7 Chestnut Crescent works out to around $975 per square foot based on the total land area of over 9,200 square feet. Well, many GCBs are in the tens of millions, Karamjit. Does this make the one at Bukit Panjang seem like a good deal at $9 million?
So the headline price might be a bit deceptive here. So here, in order to answer that question, I think you've got to understand what GCBs all are. In this tiny island state of Singapore, we've got 39 pockets of GCB zones, and each pocket has maybe anywhere between 50 to 30 houses or so. All in all, there are about just under 3,000 GCB houses. That's it. So it's a very small market, small cluster. So because each of them have a certain minimum land area restrictions around ownership, restrictions around not being able to subdivide or have minimum land area controls, they tend to come with higher quantums. Now, this property here in Chestnut obviously is probably right at the bottom in the quantum category. And the reason for that is that it's probably the furthest GCB zone from the Bryan most areas, a center of town. So that kind of explains it. That's number one. Number two, it's got what is known as a substandard land area. Most GCBs have a minimum land area of about 15,000 square feet or so. So this is much smaller. And the reason it's much smaller is because that was just the nature in which bungalows were carved out many, many years ago.
Hence the price, you reckon, Karamjit? Its PSF price is $975, considerably lower than other such properties, often at about $1,500 PSF?
Yep, absolutely. So it's all down to the relativity or the attractions or attractiveness of the location. So for the prime most GCB location, you could arguably say that's Nassim Road. Prices have transacted as much as $2,700 per square foot, whereas this would be right at the lower end of the spectrum.
Well, Karamjit, what other restrictions are there for owners of GCBs than the ones that you mentioned? I mean, for example, owners are not allowed to build a bungalow that occupies more than 35% of the plot area. I mean, give us the details.
Sure. So number one is a minimum land area. So conventionally, where you've got a large piece of land and you're looking to subdivide and slice it to smaller units, each unit should not be less than 15,000 square feet or 1,400 square meters to be precise. Even then, there are minimum frontage restrictions of about 18 meters or so. You've correctly pointed out that there are site coverage restrictions. Further to that, there are height control restrictions. So it can't go more than two stories plus one more layer for attic. Ownership restrictions, they are all naturally restricted to Singapore citizens. Once in a while, there might be an opportunity for a PR to apply, but it requires a special permission from the government for them to buy it. And if they do so, and if they do get that special permission, it's going to be limited to their own use and not for investment.
What still makes GCBs attractive then, Karmjit, given these restrictions, just the hoity-toity image?
So it's that prestige factor, the fact that it can never be diluted. So once you are in a GCB zone, it's protected. You're not going to have your neighbor knock down his house and build a small block of apartment or subdivide it into a row of terraces or intensify that use. So the class of it, the low density of it, will be preserved. And so this is to kind of give that level of protection to the entire environment in that GCB zone.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karamjit, personally today, I've got one of my sad news when I heard that the Metro store, the department store, will be closing its flagship at the Centre Point next month. I mean,
Bernard, you're revealing your age.
Yes, it was his playground as a child.
I was just telling Harvey before we started the show that Metro to me was always like a childhood thing that I always remember. My parents used to always take me to Metro. And now Metro is going to be closing its stores over at the Centre Point. And obviously the departure comes after several other tenants also announced plans to move out. I mean, namely Times Bookstores and the Tianpo Jewelry as well. At least 8 units appear to be vacant, according to the Straits Times report. And at least 4 other tenants, people like Crystal Jade Kitchen, the Battle Toys store, they've also moved out in the last 3 months. So the question is, why is Centrepoint doing so poorly, Karamjit, despite being located right along Orchard Road and seriously within walking distance to Somerset MRT?
Yeah, so, you know, it's unclear whether there's a strategy behind it by the landlord in not renewing because there's a grander plan behind it. Mm-hmm. But just generally speaking, retail malls needs to be constantly refreshed for it to be kept relevant and to be ahead of its time. And obviously, an older development, despite its great location on the main road next to an MRT station, it's iconic that, you know, people in our generation, so not just you, know about Centrepoint. Mm-hmm. But you know, whenever you have new retail malls springing up, naturally that pulls crowds away because of the newness of the concept. And after that, it's a big challenge to constantly renew, reinvent itself to ensure that it remains relevant. And part of that has got to do with ability to not just maintain the physical environment, but is the tenant mix and the software around getting the movement and how the shoppers kind of interact and experience the entire shopping experience. So it's a tough thing to do, and there's so much competition in around Orchard Road. So again, it's not surprising.
From one Centrepoint kid to another, oh come on, Karamjit, admit it. This comes 3 years after Centrepoint completed a $50 million revamp. Do you think they'll need to now change their retail concept again?
You know what? So in this particular development, Centrepoint as a mall, it's a bit unique. It's unlike many other shopping malls. It is not completely owned by one entity. When you have one mall that's owned by one entity, whether it's a REIT, whether it's a corporate landlord, there's a lot more freedom at their disposal as to what can be done, what should be done, and because everything is under 100% ownership control. This is a strata title development. It's got sitting on two separate land titles. There are apartments above it, and there are some retail units that are owned by third-party owners. So it just adds to the challenges as to what can be done in raising the capital that's required to engineer the changes. So that's very unique to this development.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karamjit, we've also seen some movements in the commercial property space in the past week as well. I mean, Park Lane Shopping Mall along Seligi Road has 33 strata retail units located on the first level basement of the mall, put up for sale via an expression of interest exercise with an indicative value of about $55.7 million. Well, Business Times reported that due to the property's commercial use zoning, foreigners are also eligible to purchase the retail units with additional buyer's stamp duty and seller's stamp duty not being applicable. So how likely do you think that's going to happen?
Yep, so that's quite straightforward. So commercial zone properties or commercial space like retail, office space, they do not attract ABSDs and seller stamp duties, and foreigners are indeed eligible. So all these restrictions applicable, attached to seller stamp duties and ABSDs are only applicable to residential properties. So that's great for foreigners and any entities that are looking to make such purchases, because then the transactional costs involved are much lower. Now, but separate from that, obviously, whoever is looking to invest in such older strata title retail malls would need to figure out whether would they have the critical mass needed to be able to effect and re-engineer the entire proposition of that mall to be able to keep it relevant, and just to the point that we just made earlier, to keep it afresh with modern malls that are springing up, you know, once in a while in around that area. So that's going to still be a challenge because you would need to work with the rest of the retail owners, and not all of them could be in alignment in wanting to engineer that physical environment change.
Karamjit, always grateful for your insights. Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at real estate firm JLL and CEO of ShowSuite. ShowSuite.com is a home's portal where you can experience your new dream home in 3D and VR. You can download the app for free on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.